Yes.
Heyo. I'm your host, Sully. Lo and behold, I got TV connoisseur Stephanie Tudor Perez on the show tonight. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Exactly. You know, we Miss fans, we love our Elvis.
There you go. We are talking about the king of cool shows that unfortunately have left us rather recently as of recording date. We're talking about the Michael M. Robin and William Finkelstein and Mike Flynn collaboration known as East New York. It stars Amanda Warren from J. Roman Israel and numerous John Michael McDonough ensemble pieces as the Deputy Inspector Haywood. It stars Kevin Rankin from Justified as her senior detective, Elizabeth Rodriguez from Power as the second grade detective, Olivia Lucardi from It Follows and Person to Person, various other horror films as the Patrol Cops, and Ruben Santiago Hudson from Castle, and Jimmy Smits as our assistant Chief Suarez. And we got plenty of other people here you're going to recognize from all the various other shows, most likely Dexter, LA Law, The Closer, MIPD Blue. It's all connected because it's all the same kind of casting crews. Perez, yeah, you've been doing a wonderful job supervising the various Facebook groups for various doctor and procedural shows. But more importantly, how did you, before we get into any of this, how did you get into TV shows prior to binge watching and setting the VCR tape?
Well, thank you very much. I guess my first one was The X-Files, you know, back there years and years ago. Yeah. Yeah, nice. And so I realized at that time that I really enjoyed being part of a fandom. And
the non-toxic type, back when it was all, did you see that last one?
Oh, yeah, you know, I mean, exactly. It's completely changed. But, you know, and then I did a fandom for The West Wing, which was really fun, but very stressful because obviously it involves politics, and it's hard to separate a TV show from politics when the TV show is about politics. But after that show went off the air, I swore I would never do this again. and then organized crime, Law and Order Organized Crime came up, and I thought, I want to do that. I did that. And Jimmy Smith in his previous show was Bluff City Law, which was filmed here in Memphis. And so
I missed that one too. Oh my God.
It was so good. As I tried to spearhead a movement to save the show. And as I hear it, we were the last show because of that movement. We were the last show to get the axe because they were on the fence. But and that was very disappointing because I heard such wonderful things about Jimmy while he was here in Memphis. And, the cast, they were wonderful. It was just a really wonderful experience. And so when it was announced that he would go to East New York, I thought, oh, yes, I want to do that. You know, because right. Jimmy, he reminds me of my late father, you know, in the eyes. And so I really, when I watch him,
a fatherly vibe. That's so true.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, so likable. So very, very much. And I'm just drawn to him. And I thought, well, and then when the show aired, of course, obviously, you know, it became a, I'm not overly familiar with ratings, but I know that, you know, I've read that it was a hit. And, you know, it's such a shame that it got canceled, but basically the X-Files, but basically the X-Files got me into fandoms, and I really enjoy being a fan of a good show.
No, that's so true. Cause yeah, that came out back when you just sent fan mail, you know, and you could even save a show if you campaigned hard enough, but yeah, that's,
you know, so it was X-Files was fun, you know, but, and fandoms have completely changed. You know, they're completely different. Yeah. Well, some of it's good.
Yes, some of it's good. But there are some other ones who just seem to just want to gatekeep. And it's like, guys, I'm not telling you to like or hate this, but come on.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Let's be kind.
You know, there are a lot of, for lack of a better term, negative Nellies. people mm-hmm. who, you know, seem to really enjoy brewing an experience for somebody. Yes. And so I try to, you know, when I moderate a group that, you know, that I have, I try to weed them out, because it's not that they don't have a right to their opinion, but if all you're doing is coming to this group to be negative, well, there's yeah. plenty of other groups out there for you to be negative on. You know,
so you brought out organized crime, because that's another one where you just see so many people. It's like they yes. either want to just talk about how handsome the actors are,
yes.
or just say this is boring. It's like, then why yeah. are you watching The yeah. Doors that yeah. way? Just yes. be constructive. And it's yeah. funny you bring up X-Files. I have a good pal, Adam Silva, who, while we were recording, we found out the hard way, oh my God, we're in the same state. And then the next thing you know, we go from there. And he has a really cool group called, it's funny you bring up X-Files. He's like, I still want to believe. And he was just like, he's like, this is our Facebook group where basically you just bring up some interesting points, share some articles, don't share any clickbait, and don't share photos of the beautiful leads. Just, you know, put our heads together and let's have fun, you know, instead of, and let's yes, see if we can even enjoy the last two seasons, which, yes. you know, some people are still on the fence on, and it's like, why is this so hard? Let's have fun.
Yeah. Well, you know what? After this, I'm going to find your group and I'm going to join it. Because I
will share it.
I still believe. I still believe.
Totally.
But, and, yeah.
Altogether, sorry, I mean, no, it's all good. It's interesting how we're getting into these shows, and it's just getting harder than ever to just kind of stand out. And to your point on the ratings, it does seem like you can still have everything they're looking for, and yet they still might shout back at you saying, "Nah, we should have never agreed to buy it." And it's like, well, then why did you buy it?
Yeah. Well, that's really disappointing. And I'm concerned that this is going to affect TV viewing in years to come. You know, they've got to figure out a way to get the rights with the right network and
music too. Don't have too much music if you have to replace it on the Blu-ray release, you know.
It's just exactly. Like, and, you know, and I think that AI might eventually end up being, you know, a real enemy of the entertainment industry. I think that, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of these artists, their companies are buying their rights to their music. And I believe what's going to happen is we're going to start hearing new music from people like, I know that Hearts, I think it was Ann Wilson, sold her rights to her part of the songs. I think it's probably what we're going to see is we're going to see AI start singing songs, new yeah. releases from those artists. And there's just nothing magical about that.
I agree. It seems like they want to experiment with it or save themselves money, and they're just hanging themselves out to dry, really, and
yeah.
cheating all these other beloved people jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
I was cool with it when, like, say somebody like a Walmart or something just wants to have it all be electronic. It's like, I can get that.
Right.
I can understand that. Okay, don't have to start hire clerks, can avoid office politics and everything, can just have there be one or two people who are just guarding the front door, making sure no one's stealing anything. And that's yeah. fine. But when you're breaking into people who have all these rare gifts and can do all these various voices, even be a spokesperson, or even are the reliable guy who does a PSA that's syndicated, you know, is like, that's a disgrace to them, because now they can't keep doing an important cause, let alone be a key voice. And
you know, I just saw a story not too long ago where there was a book reader who had passed away, I guess, maybe 10 years ago. Well, AI wow. is bringing his voice back. He's recording new books with AI, and he's been gone for 10 years. And I don't know. I think something magical is lost when that happens.
I concur. Because it's never going to be 100%. I understand why they do it on some rare movie occasions where they need to bring someone back, but they just can't.
Yes.
They're due to health concerns, they can't. But when you're doing it for like 20 plus people, that's where you got to just say, yeah. whoa, chill out here.
Yeah, that's a different story. It is. And I think that these situations between the studios and these production companies with the streaming rights, I think it's going to lead to lesser product for the consumer. And I don't think there's any way around it unless we figure out a way to, I don't know what's going to happen with this writer strike, but maybe something will come for that. I have no idea.
Yeah, I have a few many who have been commenting on that, and they think it might actually encourage more independent quality material. I'm like, I hope you're right, because
yes, yeah, I hope so too. You know, everything today seems so cookie cutter to me. They keep wanting to repeat the same recipe, you know, and try to sell it as a new product when it's just the same thing. And I just, you know, I guess that's why I rely on 80s TV shows these days.
Yeah, because that's true. Yeah.
It's just not a TV and movies and music is just not as good as it used to be. And of course, you know, I've heard that, and I'm sure you've heard that your whole life. You know, we always hear that from, yeah, you know, people who are older than we are, but it's true, you know.
Yeah, and the fan bases are tearing each other, yep, apart. One minute, yes, they'll say, oh, I played it safe. Oh, now it's not at all like I like the previous ones. And then, like you say, the bigger higher ups seem to just not listen to any of the feelings. They just want the clickbait and they want you to, absolutely, participate, but they don't want to take any of your notes. So it's like, well, so this is already a false flag. If we're just,
exactly,
interacting, exactly, but no one's, oh, listening. Yeah.
It's disappointing. And, you know, when you are a fan of a, whether it's movies or music or TV or books or book on tape or, you know, whatever it may be, mm-hmm, we are getting less quality than we did even 10 years ago. And that's a shame, because the talent hasn't left us. It hasn't evaporated. It's still there, but the powers that be just won't use it.
It's like they'll learn one minute and then they'll goof up and do another mistake. And it's like, oh, hold up. But you're so close. Oh, yeah. Just keep doing what you're doing. Don't, you know, and now they're, you know, like you say, it seems like they just keep hiring even more and more people with less experience. And then we get fans who don't know how to describe what they like in a pleasant way. So now I mean, we're even seeing that with some of the new Star Treks, and it's like, they're literally always repeating themselves. And it's like, well, and I don't mean just like story-wise, so to speak, but more just like they start off not too hot, then they catch on over time. But even then, it still takes a while of people giving it a chance to finally.
It does. A hit is not overnight. You know, you have to find an audience. You have to find, you know, people who are drawn to whatever story you're telling. And but in today's instant gratification world, people want an instant hit, and it just doesn't always work that way.
Totally. I'm hoping we can do less repeats and formulaicness. And I saw a lot of people complaining about this show, and some of them were in the group, and it just made me wonder, well, so why are you in the group if you're just not going to stick with it? And some of them were legit, and others were okay with it and then lost interest after 5 episodes. I get that. But then there were other ones where it was just like they were the group admins and then they left. I'm like, well, so did they just get assigned by CBS Media randomly because they needed a fun gig?
Now, are you talking about the East New York group?
Yeah, there was like a few different Facebook groups.
Oh, well, I tell you, I don't know about the other groups, you know, but we have no affiliation with CBS. You know, maybe if we did, maybe we would have helped them out a little. But no, you know, this is purely a we're fans. And, you know, my goal has always been to create a group that I would want to be a part of. I don't want to be censored in my opinions. I don't want to be attacked for my opinions. I don't want to be harassed or.
Right.
We have lost in this society an ability to be cordial to one another. And that's all I want.
Or if objective.
Objective or just, you know, here's a word that is lost. Kind. Just be kind. You know, you don't have to agree with someone. You don't have to agree with them to be kind, but let's just be kind to each other in our responses. And that is literally the only expectation I have from people in any group that I run. Just be nice.
Totally. Don't hang yourself out to dry. And speaking of kindness, that's a good contrast with this here. I really admire, you know, so Michael and Robin, you know, he has had a bunch of movie and TV hits. He has been busy AF. He has been so busy. So he started on the Stephen Bochco train. You know, he would work about David Milch and company as a PA, and then he started producing, directing a bunch of NYPD Blue episodes. And then Bochco said, hey, if you don't want to renew your contract, you can come back if your career doesn't, your solo career doesn't work out. But fortunately it did. He, next thing you know, he's producing numerous FX and TNT cable hits like Rizzoli and Isles, Nip Tuck, The New Dallas, and The Closer and its spinoff Major Crimes, and Longmire for Netflix and A&E. So yeah, he, so many dynamite hits, very rarely misses. And much like this, you know, he did another show with a strong African-American lead called All Rise about a female judge. And
yes,
I didn't keep up with that one for whatever reason. No. I thought it was interesting, and then it got canceled and moved to cable. So we're hoping the same for this one. Definitely, like this could totally, this would get some way better ratings on something like TNT if it was on 24/7 versus.
I totally agree. Yes.
Because it seems like me and other fans were noticing that it was just in that awkward time slot between NCIS LA, which I don't know how that lasted 14 years. I was not crazy about that.
I wasn't either.
Just the way they cheaply filmed it. I was just like, so, and each time they did a crossover, they would always be the finale and it would have nothing to do with the last 2 hours. So it's like, why did you even do a giant crossover if it doesn't have anything to do with it? It's like all these other guys who had nothing to do with the last two episodes. So I think there's a lot of producers in fighting, and but they're just asked by CBS to do that just because ratings.
Yeah.
But, no, I'm with you here. So this show, it has potential to be renewed and syndicated. It seems like it just was oddly scheduled. There'd be times I would set the DVR and I just had to go on to Paramount Plus after the fact and just watch that or Equalizer on there just because it wasn't airing at exactly the right time. 60 minutes was going on too long.
Yeah. And despite that, you know, despite, you know, what it faced on Sundays, from the way I understand it, and I, you know, and I could be wrong, but the way I understand it is it had really good ratings, you know, despite everything that it was facing and its time slots, you know, you just think, what are you doing? What are you thinking? You know, I don't know. It seems like they set it up for failure.
Yeah, totally. It's like they just want just very lazy sitcoms and a CSI spinoff. And it's like, no, you can have something else. I mean, you're fortunate to even have Dick Wolf giving you all these FBI shows.
I know, right?
There's no business going
smart.
On.
You know, viewers are smart. You know, TV, you know, you to these groups, you know, and it doesn't matter if you what TV show it is. You have these incredibly intelligent people who can really tell you about the show, about what's going on, the psychology of the characters. So viewers aren't stupid. You know, just because you watch TV doesn't, you know, so these are very smart people, and they are attracted to smart TV shows. There's a reason why a TV show like Frasier lasted 11 years. There's a reason it's coming back. I mean, you know, I don't think you don't have to have a PhD to watch Frasier, but you do have to have an emotional intelligence, I think, to be able to appreciate it fully. And, you know, and I think that most people who watch TV are emotionally intelligent to be able to be drawn to intelligent TV shows, but they just don't want to give us that anymore.
I concur. It just seems like a common instance. There's always someone who is just either that, or studios will insist, oh, there needs to be a opening narration. People aren't going to get it. And it's like, they get it fine. And there's a recap at the beginning of each episode. So serialized can work. And that's funny that you bring that up. I will still see people get into a debate on serialization and then they'll complain, well, I wasn't encouraged to watch every episode. I'm like, well, yeah, because it's not serialized. It doesn't stand on it together. Yeah. It stands on its own.
I think about the TV show 24. You had to watch every single episode of that show to know what was going on. And I can't recall how many seasons it was on, but it was a huge hit. People are smart. You know, you don't have to play to the lowest common denominator. People are smart. TV viewers are smart. Don't dumb down TV for people. People can get it. But they don't want to give it to us.
Yeah, and stop acting like only millennials like comedies, or only, you know, grandparents watch crime shows. It's like, no, there's right. something for everybody. And
yeah,
now cable channels are trying, you know, are realizing we don't have to push the envelope anymore or be shocking. We can just be creative. And
yeah,
yet sometimes they'll still make bizarre decisions because a producer's doing some infighting or filming location disagreements, like you yeah. talked about before. This show, we're getting back on track, guys. We're just very, very furious that this got canceled yeah. because it was not generic, like we pointed no. out. So, like, I even had like the damn like promo photo ready to go. I was just taking snapshots of the trailer and like, boom, boom.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
the shot. And so, were you familiar with any of these other actors besides Smits? Were you, did you see some of them?
Well, you know, as we talked about, my memory is horrible. You know, no, I've got fine. A horrible memory. But, you know, I did watch Dexter. I loved The Closer. I had forgotten that the actor who plays Marvin was on a
Castle. Yeah.
Castle. I had forgotten that, you know. So the only ones that I probably wasn't familiar with were the younger ones. So I knew, and I wasn't aware of Amanda Warren, but my gosh, isn't she an amazing actress?
My mother was like my new favorite actress. And the next thing you know, we're catching up on some movies from 5 years ago and she's in them. And we're yeah. like, but see, look how far she's come as an actress. She was a solid supporting. Now she's the solid lead. So yeah, I hope she gets 5 more shows.
But she's incredible.
Yeah. Just very good at just showing that reserved and just interior thinking, and same right. as all these other guys, because you know you want some fun cop shows stuff, but you don't want it to where you're like, I don't believe anyone could ever, you know, hold a office like this or something like that. And
oh yeah,
it, you can tell it's going somewhere just the minute that Raymond Sharp guy comes on in and he rips the chief and the inspector, you know, played by Warren, you know, just a new one, and it's so much fun. And just seeing everybody just play around with this. Like, you got, again, Tommy and Crystal, the support, let's call them the B team, you know. It's fun.
Yeah, okay.
It's right. really cool seeing a Bronx, you know, Latina and upper class white guy just having to do their
yes. you know,
office politics, and they're trying to detoxify it, and they show the different viewpoints without, you know, baiting you or doing the whole we're all the good guys. And it's like, no, there's imperfections. That's reality.
Oh, yeah.
And the internal affairs guy was, Troy was cracking me the hell up because it was just like,
yeah,
he comes in yeah. way too fast. And then he realizes, oh, this isn't a right. contest about who solves it first.
No.
And then he gets transferred to oversee it. And they still won't let him in. He's like, hey, I'm trying to reason with you. I guess it's too late.
Well, it's the thing was, is every episode got better and better and better. You yeah. know, on the Facebook group, the East New York Facebook group, we've had more people join in the last 24-hour period.
Where were you guys before? Damn it.
Well, I mean, we always got new members. We always did. But compared to any other 24-hour period, we've gotten more in this 24-hour period after this last episode than we have at any other time. You know, we probably got, you know, I don't know. I can't, you know, I don't want to be, you know, give false numbers, but we did. We absolutely got more new members in that 24-hour period than any other 24-hour period prior.
Man.
And you just think, and you know, and you go on Twitter and you read the comments on Twitter, or, you know, on East New York's Twitter page, or you go on East New York's Facebook page and you read the comments. Nobody's talking negatively about the show. Everybody
they even wants a showed second it in the season. Promos.
Yes, they everybody wants a second season. I can understand if the ratings weren't there. I could, but they are. And
if they could switch it to Paramount for streaming like they yeah, did with the other yeah. shows, that would make sense.
I mean, it's just it's astounding to me that in today's world, a good solid show with good solid ratings is canceled.
Where else are you going to see of hardworking inspector gal figure out her father's corruption, be in love yeah. with a DEA agent, and then realize her mentor, her boss, the chief, is compromised by his yeah. foray into politics? That's cerebral. That's mind blowing. Yeah, that's twisted.
Yes. Yes, it is. But, you know, and then every situation was so complex. You know, yeah. it wasn't just it wasn't just, you know, surface. It was, you know, her father was, you know, undercover, you know, investigating dirty cops, but he was also, you know, seeing somebody on the side.
Fathers are a sorry lot.
Right. You know, but that's how we all are. We're all complex. None of us are one dimensional. And that was something that they did so fantastic on that show, is that no character was one dimensional. It would have been so easy to write Stan off as some sort of kind of goofy, you know, Andy Griffith type.
Let's go fishing.
Yeah, like, exactly. But just like Andy Griffith, because if you watch Andy, you know, the Andy Griffith show, you know, he is, you know, kind of a country, simple country sheriff, but he's incredibly intelligent. He's really smart. He's spot on how he reads people. So what you see is not what you get. And that's the same thing with Stan. What you saw initially is not what you got. He was a much deeper and a much richer character than someone in passing would have thought. And you don't get that in a lot of TV.
Yeah. It's just perfect. And it's, I mean, even having who we keep talking about, Ruben Santiago Hudson, that dude is just so underrated. He's been everything. He was on this one TNT show I used to watch. And it's also cool to have, you know, a diverse cast and you feel like they belong. It's not trying to make a political statement. And it's also trying to have, you know, a more big demographic. And it's even the writers behind the scenes are, much like Dark Winds, that Tony Hillerman adaptation. I was fortunate enough to talk to his author daughter. And who is also a delight. But, you know, that's a big Navajo show. Those are Reservation House. So it was cool here seeing all kinds of other people like Randy Zisk and Lou Diamond Phillips and actor Mo McRae from Sons of Anarchy do a lot of directing of various episodes. And I'm like, see, this is when you really know it's good. When you're seeing all these Broadway and... just renowned character actors who've been around forever just chime in once in a while. I love it when I see that. I mean, Dick Wolf goes to town with it too. Every other medical show is directed by someone who worked on ER, The West Wing. But it's also cool too how, like you said, they all acknowledge each other and see what's on each other's mind. And kudos to Fink and Finkelstein and Flynn for just really, you know, they're still using their same police codes and everything. It's so funny. I have a reference sheet. So, you know, I know more than just what 10-4 is. I know some of the other ones like, okay, you know, so it was funny. I was looking at my reference when I was telling other people, okay, they're calling for a medevac van or calling for.
I can imagine.
But it doesn't feel like they're playing to the camera or the actors weren't in character yet or on. Uncomfortable with the material. No, they were ready from day one. So
they were. And one of the things that I really liked about the show is there just wasn't a lot of personal drama. You know, there wasn't a lot of
drugs and I'm gonna get fired if they find out.
Who knows if it had gone on for 10 years, maybe we would have seen that. But initially in the first season, that's not what it was. There wasn't a lot of
pretty much it's just romance. The politics that's it, but it's more of a scandal and you can tell that the character is self-aware, but it's too late. Like, when the chief gets involved with all these other guys, you can tell how you can see they do enough build up to where you can see how someone could eventually get corrupted. Cause there is no positive to politics as much as we like to pretend, but the Allison gal who's played wonderfully by the Lady Deathstroke gal from X-Men, Kelly Hu, I was just like,
she was fabulous.
She is, but it was interesting too because then they do a twist for her. They don't slut shame her or anything. They just flat out say, no, like she was using him. Now they're actually in love. And it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Got twisted.
The
job too well.
You know, I finished it up today, you know, when I watched the final episode. I didn't watch it last night. And all I could think is, what a damn shame.
Yeah.
They're such good actors. And like you said about Ruben, I mean, you see these people that, you know, like are, you know, usually, you know, sort of background, like you said, character actors, but they shine so brilliantly. They're just so, so good. And even the extras that they've had on the show have been incredible. I don't know what else to say other than it's a shame, but.
Right.
I mean, maybe, you know, it can be picked up somewhere else. You know, there are several actors on the group, and I, you know, I've really hesitated reaching out to them and saying, what can we do? You know, because I'm not sure that they really know. I know that there's a someone posted today a link to or an address to write. I believe it was is it Warner Brothers? You know, directly. Nice. You know, and so hey, you know, I mean, let's go buy, you know, $40 worth of stamps and start sending in those letters.
Something.
You know, or start tweeting. You know, I know that that Twitter, you know, is a big shift in, you know, changing. I think Shamar Moore, I think that's what he used to get SWAT renewed was Twitter. Now, of course, none of us.
Yeah, none of us cry for help.
Yeah, none of us have the audience that he has, but you just hope that good quality stuff is wanted, and I think this is wanted.
We'll return after these messages.
Hello and welcome to Culture Shocked, the pop culture podcast brought to you by four aging millennials and our outdated opinions. Join us every Tuesday as we discuss movies, TV, games, and even music, new and old.
Dude, what do you think you're doing?
Are you seriously trying to record a promo without us right now?
Well, yeah.
Dude, you can't just do the promo by yourself. Who's gonna listen to that?
Yeah, and you probably haven't even told them that we're a pop culture podcast where we always agree on everything. For instance, the Sam Raimi trilogy easily being the best of the Spider-Man movies.
No. But I think we can all agree that Jaws is a classical masterpiece.
Nope, don't like that. But we do all agree that the sequel trilogy of Star Wars is the best in the Skywalker saga, right, guys?
That comment is so ridiculous. I don't even know where to
Anyways, that'll do it from all of us here at Culture Shock. Thanks for listening.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR, we add them to our queues, we wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide all across the globe. We are in the US, we are in the UK, we are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan, we're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, all things that we love, all manga that were originally published in the legendary magazine Weekly Shonen Jump.
But not every series can run for 300 chapters and have a hit anime. This is David.
This is Jordan.
We're the hosts of Shonen Flop. Each episode we look at manga that ran in Jump that didn't quite make it.
We discuss what it did wrong, what it did right, how the series could have turned itself around, and ultimately, was it a flop or not?
Run all your favorite podcast apps, and you can find us at shonenflop.com.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
But not listening.
Totally. And every other show that's featured some rookies has often just got too cliche or soapy.
Yes.
And it was so cool to see this newcomer from Kansas level Shali as Andre.
He was incredible.
And it's jaw-dropping because, you know, they end the mid-season finale with him getting shot. And of course, you know, he's fine, but he's going to be AWOL, missing in action. But I liked how they gave you a good idea because, you know, I listened to plenty of true crime. So it was really cool to see them actually detail the consequences. You know, this and Bosch do a good idea. I don't think it's near as realistic as Bosch, but stay with me. Like, it's interesting at showing just again, how workplace stuff can become unneeded melodrama. Just, and you got to be on time to work, otherwise you're gonna, you know.
Yeah,
it is kind of like the principal's office, that it's kind of like a military base camp. They need to know who's on staff, otherwise you can't be a cop. So I liked how they showed him with his parents, and they're begging him, please don't go back. You know, you're clearly not safe. And he's like, I'm not letting my guard down. And Marvin's kind of more of a dad to me.
Well, I tell you, I have not enjoyed a police show. There's so many bad ones. I have not. I have not enjoyed a police show as much as I've enjoyed this one since Homicide: Life on the Streets.
Ooh, we're doing deep cuts there.
Yes.
So it's funny you bring that up, because I did get vibes of that with this, as well as with The Closer. Just how
The Closer was fantastic, followed by Major Crimes. I'm glad you brought that up, because I did thoroughly enjoy The Closer, and remember Southland. Southland was really good. Yes. You know, I think it was initially on NBC, and NBC maybe canceled it, and then it went to TNT.
But, and they left it all uncut. They were like, okay, you can do whatever you want now. You can use every F word you want in your arsenal.
Yeah.
You can,
absolutely. But but those are the best police shows from what I like.
Totally. The dry musings, the sweat running down people's faces while they go and retrieve a snack from the lunch break room is like, that's what you need some kind of realism of, instead of glamorizing or just, hey, we're all just flirting with each other and being stupid. It's like, no, they're not doing that.
And
who was playing Marvin's ex-girlfriend?
Lauren I can't Velez, think of her name, the one, she was on Dexter. And she was fabulous on Dexter. Mm-hmm. I loved her on Dexter.
Yeah.
So,
New York Undercover. She was the doctor on Oz also. Yeah, she's been everywhere.
Oh, I forgot about Oz. I forgot that she was on Oz.
She was fun. It's the same kind of deal. Like, she's very good at just kind of, she reminds me of another actress who's been on a lot of these shows, Gloria Rubin. Just same kind of.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But it's the same kind of just, she keeps you kind of in suspense. It's like, you're feeling the pressure that the character is facing on screen, and it's just beautiful. It's just very rare for any actor to kind of do that, because it seems like so many of them kind of want to just play to the camera or just troll each other. And it's like, doesn't help the cast trying to chew.
It doesn't. I mean, that is one thing is I don't think, when you think about these shows, when you think about, shows like, whether you're talking about The X-Files, you're talking about, The West Wing, Homicide: Life on the Streets, you're talking about The Close, there is not a single weak link in the cast. Not a single one. But there's not a single weak link in the cast of any of these shows. Every character plays their part perfectly. And you can't say that about every show.
Yeah, totally. And, Ron Canada, you've seen him on all the various Star Trek shows and everything. Mm-hmm. The Shield, I think he was the mayor on. He's never been someone who just looked handsome, but he's always been like good at just showing, hey, I regret what I'm about to inform you, but he's even more than this. Like, he's like, I have to keep apologizing to your daughter, even though I know you're not going to accept any of my apologies. I'm in a rough spot. I'm lucky that my ex-wife even talks to me anymore. But we've been joking around. Did you recognize, what did you think of the other patrol cop gal, Olivia Liccardi's character, Brandy? Playing the officer who's in the ghetto.
It sort of took me a minute to get on board with her. But I really admired her, Of course, we talk about these characters as if they're real people, but I admired her tenacity. You can imagine, of course, obviously, I think her life growing up, her trauma with her mother, probably played a part in, but she was very naive, in some respects. But when you've got someone who is willing to throw them everything about them, put themselves in danger, of course, also we realize that she's, she wants to make detective, but I was really impressed with the way they wrote her, how she became a part of the housing projects that she lived in.
That was
she was
really
no longer
realism.
just a yeah she was no longer just a police officer that was living there. They came to look out for her. They came to,
they're not going to accept her right away. She slowly just kind of starts changing her tone with them. Is like, hey, you don't have to like me, but if you hit me, you will go to jail.
Yeah, exactly. But that isn't that what life is about? It's about proving yourself to people who to gain people's trust. You know, you shouldn't just trust people automatically. People have to earn our trust. And so I thought that was very true to life. She had to earn their trust. And by the, you know, I did not dislike a single character on the show by the finale. Yeah. I loved every single character on the show. So, you know, she won me over too.
It wasn't one-sided. It wasn't anti-BLM. It wasn't anti-blue. It wasn't even anti just like even talking politics, even though it downplays politics. It's also good at just, like you say, just opening the dialogue and just showing how life is not getting any easier. They didn't downplay it. They still had some, much like The Closer and Resolving Isles, like they're just like, hey, that's realistic. A cop would be kind of pro-blue and some of these other guys would be anti-blue, but here's how some of them can eventually make an unexpected connection with the other. But it's, you know, it took a few weeks. It took a whole year because it's not going to happen right away.
No, it's not, you know, and it's, you know, there can be multiple truths, you know, there can be multiple, you know, it's not one size fits all, you know, we are complex, you know, and it's, we are very complex and, you know, and so when you watch TV, you want to see complexity in your characters too. You don't want just a one-dimensional character. You know, you can support the BLM movement while you also support Blue Lives. I mean, those two, you don't have to be one or the other. And I think they did really good with that. I think they
didn't downplay it or pretend, oh, it's easy. I'm like, well, no, this isn't easy to talk about. Have you seen our situations lately?
These are very tough subjects, you know, and there's validity in all of in every perspective, and they presented those very well, I thought.
Totally, especially when they're trying to get rid of other bad apples on their squad. I loved it because, like, I do mobile security, and I totally related in that one scene where they're going out for a drive. And they see that the last shift has left a giant, you know, just mess. Cheetos and Coke everywhere.
Yeah.
And they look up instantly. Who, you know, took that? You know, it belongs to the cities. It's funded by them. So it's like they look up. They instantly come up to the last two guys who had it. And they sub on their shift. It's like, hey, make sure you clean it out next shift. You know? I love it.
And not everything has to be a big ordeal. Sometimes people just need a simple reminder.
Yeah,
you know, but
instead of acting like you bad person, I'm going to talk shit to you. It's like, no, you get one warning and let's not have this conversation ever again.
Yeah. And if we do, then you'll see the other side of
it. Correct. Then we'll be in the equivalent of the principal's office, which is, in other words, the captain saying, by the way, final warning in case you didn't get it the first time.
Exactly.
Did you recognize who played our project's cop's troubled drug addicted mother?
I did not.
Okay, so that is Debbie Mazur. You might know her from the final seasons of LA Law, one of the kidnappers in Beethoven, the dog movies. And I'm like, that is awesome. And lo and behold, her new boyfriend is Corbin Burnson. So I'm like, oh my God, this is LA Law. Spot the LA Law actor.
Now, wasn't she in Gilmore Girls? Am I thinking of the right person?
Let me see. Was she? She is gorgeous. I've seen her in a bunch of different things, all kinds of movies. I've seen her in Frogs for Snakes with John Leguizamo, Space Truckers, all other kinds of goofy, campy movies. She was on Younger, but let me see. Was she?
I loved her final scene with her daughter. You know, when she's pleading with her mother, she's saying, I'm making a difference. I'm bringing people to justice. This is how I want to do it. I want to be a detective. You can just see that her mother finally gets it. You can just see that she doesn't say a word. You know, her eyes are welling up, and you can see that whatever it is that she thought that her daughter was doing is completely different. And then you've got Corbin Burnson in the back, you know, winking at her. you know, saying, good job, kid. You got this. You got this. And so, it, you know, at least with the end of the series, you get the feeling that her and her daughter are in a better spot. Maybe she's in a better spot. Maybe she's in a more stable relationship. You feel like maybe there's going to be some positive progression in these relationships.
Bingo. Yeah. And it was cool to see him play a questionable influence, but not a douchebag for once, because for a while he was playing villains galore outside of Saigon. And this is like, man, has he pissed someone off? He's always playing a bad guy.
Well, I loved him in Saigon. He was so good in Saigon.
No, he was great. I'm just saying, this is interesting how, I mean, he was recently on City on a Hill as a crooked professional guy working with a congressman. So I was like, whoa.
Do you know who his mother is?
She's like some late, great, famous soap opera gal. And I remember when that happened and my parents were talking about it. I was like, oh my God, that was so-and-so's mother.
Yeah, that was, I can't think of her name, but she was on The Young and the Restless. I watched her for years when I stayed home sick from school. And, when he was on site, because I didn't really know him, but when I started, oh my gosh, that's, her
son. The guy our parents are talking about.
Yeah, so that's his mother. She played, I think her name was Catherine Chandler, I think. But I could be completely wrong about that because, as you get older, your memory starts to go.
I'm not sure, but I've seen this Debbie gal. She's done all kinds of things, like guest spots on Providence, Get Real. She was on That's Life and Seventh Heaven. That's what I've seen here.
Huh, well, maybe I'm confusing her with someone else. I don't know.
I've seen her in some of these other shows by the same producers, but I think why she works so well here is they don't have her be a bad influence, and you see that she's trying to put so many vices behind instead of just being cliche and well acted. Like, she's being someone who's just like you say, I get it now, daughter. It just took five more arguments for me to just come out of my shell and realize I'm on the wrong path and I need to reshuffle.
But first, let me get you a Swiffer. So let me get you a Swiffer first.
Let me act like you need me before you tell me one more time you don't need
exactly
me. Yeah, exactly. I'm not the one with problems. You're the one with problems. Let me help you.
Right.
Insist on helping my daughter and pretend like I never had any issues. Bullshit. Yeah.
She was, when she I really loved that last scene. I really, really loved it. And that was a home run for me. As far as stuff that I like on TV, it was just an absolute home run.
Exactly. And it made every second count, and kudos to how they shoot it, because for a while, when he was starting up some of these shows, he would kind of shoot it like NYPD Blue or Homicide, but then they got even more comfortable and they always find a forceful way to kind of make it appeal easily to someone who probably might want something more laid back like a CSI or Law and Order show, and as well as something edgier like a Boss show, where it's like, okay, here's the procedural, here's the tactical stuff, and here's just the ins and outs of this as to why this is going to be even harder to wrap up and get figured out.
Well, that was a good thing. That was a very interesting, you said something I really, I really liked and I really agreed with, is that it was, for anybody who hasn't watched Homicide was one of the grittiest TV shows on network TV that I've ever seen. It's surprising that it felt very much, for anybody who may not have seen it, it kind of felt a little bit like Oz in the way that it was filmed and the way that it looked and the grittiness of it. But, so it was like Homicide, but then like you said, it had a softer side to it that sort of people who would not be interested in that type of storytelling, they did soften it up. Now, hey, they could have gone, they could have made it much grittier for me and I would have been perfectly happy. But, when you're trying to appeal to an audience, that consists of a lot of different type of people, you sort of have to try to water some of that down so it's appealing to everyone. Because I think there's a lot of people who were very put off by the violence, the level of violence on organized crime, which doesn't really bother me, but it does bother somebody.
It's so weird. It's like they're okay with it on SVU, but they're not okay with it on there. And I'm like, well, it's the same universe.
Well, you can't forget there's people, there's still a lot of people who that want, because SVU and organized crime are two completely different type of shows. But I think
that's the beauty of it.
But I think organized crime has suffered because there's so many expectations for it to be just like SVU. It's its own universe. It's its own place. It's nothing like SVU. Just like SVU was nothing like the original Law and Order, which to me is the best one of all of them.
Yeah.
But and so each one of them feels very different. But I think organized crime is suffering because there's so many expectations for it being like SVU.
Yeah. Having different showrunners change midway through the season doesn't help, but I'm with it. But I mean, there's going to be some rough spots in any show, and I get that too. All I ask is that just don't make a decision that just feels like you don't even respect anyone involved anymore. You know, so
yeah,
I mean, got good feelings,
but that is the thing. You know, like I've said, you know, viewers are smart. They don't want to be talked down to. And when you talk down to viewers, that's when you lose them. Don't oversee. You know, I mean, of course, you know, I don't understand genetics very well, but I can follow it on a TV show. Just don't make it super simple, you know, and that's, you know, so audiences are smart. We deserve good TV. And when you give us good TV, don't cancel it because of streaming issues.
Or because you couldn't do the math ahead of time and realize, owe this much.
And that's unfortunate. You know, we are suffering because they can't figure out the situation. And good TV is going to continue to be canceled and drowned out by shows that have been around longer who have bigger stars, and we're going to miss out. And then before you know it, we're going to be stuck with. And I don't want to insult anybody, because there's things that I'll watch that people would say, why do you watch that? Well, I don't know, because I like it, because it's a nice escape from the world. But
there are bright people who watch the stupidest reality shows because there's something amusing about it. Or maybe.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Maybe they just want a cooking show with a reality.
Yeah. I mean, rebuild a house. The audience is smart. Treat us like we're smart. Don't talk down to us. Don't. Just bring us good entertainment. That's all we ask.
And if you're going to stretch reality, just, you know, back it up, you know, like, hey, like everybody talks pretty fancy on Law and Order and West Wing. It probably wouldn't happen that way in real life, but we like the character, you know, the actors have done research on their roles. The writers can justify, I mean, much like some of these other shows you talked about, like Dexter and 24, like they're and Frasier, they're always going to have someone who brings them up, because regardless of what season you left on it, like they were about, again, a complex scenario, not safe for any kind of network kind of show. And much like X-Files, they kind of just blended into that whole, hey, you got to see every episode because it's atypical TV. It's not what you even remotely think is going to happen. And I mean, kudos to anybody who can just craft something that is just dense but just continually gripping, like you can't not talk about it. It's
You know, if you go back even further and you think about I hope I'm not showing my age too much, but if you go back and you watch the Golden Girls,
there you go,
each one of those characters are so complex and they have such unique stories, you know. And I guess maybe to some degree, if you're lucky enough to get a TV show or a movie, you know, to the big or the little screen or the small screen, I guess I should say, you know, you typically can write characters, but when you have a hit like Golden Girls, you have a hit like Frasier, or you have a hit like Everybody Loves Raymond, you know, it's because people can relate to those characters, you know. It's funny because I always say, you know, and I always say it with a joke, if I can suspend belief that there is an 8-foot tall Wookiee flying a spaceship in outer space, I can suspend belief for a lot of things.
I see what you're doing there. Is this because Jimmy Smits is Bill Organa? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. So I absolutely believe that Chewbacca is real. You know, and I believe that Chewbacca was, I believe he's a character, you know, I was
thank you for saying
5
that.
Years old.
You know, I see so many people, they will,
so I've known that he was a character.
But now we see people, they want to invade a conversation. They'll see a scandal involved.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a Jacked Up.